Meriden, we've seen some amazing scenes from Hong Kong over the last week and a half, but now it seems like things are dying down. What's your take on the situation?
I'd say that rather than dying down, they're reaching a point at which, a crossroads to some extent. Whilst things have settled a little bit, what happens in the next couple of days with negotiations with the with Hong Kong's chief executive number two, Carrie Lam, will determine what direction things take. They could settle or they could arise again.
And with Carrie Lam, what do you think the outcome will be? Do you think that the students will be happy with this outcome?
That's a very difficult question. So we don't really know. The students don't have one particular group representing them. And their demands, you know, the central demand is for democracy in the full suffrage sense and for CY Leung, the chief executive, to step down. But whether or not they'll be happy depends more or less, I think, on whether they get this idea of full suffrage. And that's unlikely. So there's going to have to be a negotiating point in between what their demands are and the zero line that I think Beijing would prefer.
And on Beijing, how do you think they're viewing overall the protests?
From Beijing's point of view, it's an interesting situation. I don't think they expected the vehemence with which this announcement was met, this announcement decision that was made on August 31st. I think they're taken by surprise by that. However, what it means for Hong Kong is not the same as what it means for the mainland. What it means in the mainland, I think we from the outside might presume that this might have some kind of contagion effect, and that in the mainland there might be a growing interest in democracy, having seen what's happened in Hong Kong. But I think that we're, by assuming that, we're looking at things from our own perspectives, and that's not really the driving desire of most people in the mainland. Their sense, I think, of many there is that kind of Western-style democracy that they see, what Hong Kong citizens are asking for, is not really suitable for the mainland situation. In Hong Kong, it's a different situation. I think it's sort of a test case to see how the leadership can handle something so public, such a sort of direct, not a threat to its leadership and legitimacy, but certainly a question mark around it. And so that will have to be responded to very, very skillfully. They can't clamp down on it, I believe, like they did in Tiananmen, but they can't ignore it because, you know, the Hong Kong citizens will use that opportunity again in the future if it's ignored.
And has the media reporting been within China? How have they reported on these developments in Hong Kong?
Well, the mainland Chinese media, it's been really interesting. It's been talking about that these particular individuals are sort of puppets of the West. They're pushing for Western style democracy. It's UK and US forces behind it all, and it's talk about, you know, lack of stability, very, very reckless behaviour, and it's not at all portrayed in any way that we would understand it from reading the situation from the West. The South China Morning Post and some of the Hong Kong newspapers are far less pro-Beijing, and they use very different kinds of language to explain and understand exactly the same things.
And so looking back at these protests, are they a historic moment in time for Hong Kong and for China?
So as you know, the protests are in response to a decision made in August about how the promise for full suffrage would be implemented. So this idea of full suffrage was part of the handover deal set up in 1984 before Hong Kong was handed back from Britain to China in 1997, and full suffrage was promised. Now, the details are that there's an election committee who are going to choose the handful of candidates from which Hong Kong citizens can vote. And I think that this is another step forward as far as Hong Kong democracy goes, because they've had nothing and they're moving forward, but it's certainly not as far as the Hong Kong people would want. And they've shown themselves to be very vocal and very capable of rallying for these kinds of things before. A couple of years ago, there was another article of legislation in the Basic Law that they didn't like, and they came out in the same way, and a negotiated compromise was reached. So I think that this shows a tendency among the Hong Kong people to stand up for things when they think it's against their interests.
And any views from other neighbouring countries in the regions about how these protests have been viewed?
Well, it seems that other countries in Southeast Asia might be watching with some interest. Cambodia, Indonesia, for example, might be just seeing how civil society and government can interact. For example, peaceful protests, negotiations, whether or not that works out in Hong Kong might have an interesting effect for other Southeast Asian countries.
Marilyn, great to talk to you.
Thank you.